Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with James Cloud. Do all objects give off some sort of feeling or energy, whether it be, you know, for example, that brand new thing that just came out of the wrapper, or does it have to have like a history with people or with something?
Honestly, there are a lot of old objects that don't have an imprinted history.
No.
It's really, because I can go into a full-blown haunting possession case, whatever it is, as an exorcist, and I'll do a once-through on objects in the home, and usually there's only maybe one or two objects that actually have something written, imprinted on them, that I can pick up. Now, I can pick up, just from the location, a lot of times, the history and whatnot, but if it's just strictly an object, I really have to go by the feeling and emotions that it's projecting outward. It's almost like some objects, for some reason, are like recorders, almost like you would expect from a residual haunting, where it's just a tape that's being played over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Some objects also have that ability, and I couldn't tell you why. Is it the emotional investment people had in an object? Is it, was it used in some occult ritual, or something like that? That's really what is a telltale. Now, there are times I go into antique malls, bring up the subject of antique stores,
sure,
that it's hard for me, even when I try to turn my radar off, it's hard for me to walk through, because there are so many types of emotions that hit my senses all at once. I can still find the specific objects, but it's like I'm trying to find a specific tree within a forest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has a little mark on it, but you have to kind of go to each tree to see if it has that mark. And it's really the same way. I went into an antique mall probably a few months back, and I could barely walk through the place. There was multiple items that had these kind of imprints, and it was making me physically ill, because it was so intense, and it almost felt like I was under attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that kind of lets you know how I react to a lot of that stuff.
Sure, sure. I want to jump over to, you were talking about shadow people earlier, and that's obviously mm-hmm. something that we hear a lot about now that people can throw that into their lexicon of words that they use. So I believe it's not like this is a new concept. I just think people are like, oh, that's a great way to describe it. That's how we should call them. Shadow people quite often they inspire fear and terror in many. That seems to be the reaction that many get, but not all the time. Is that reaction of the fear and the terror always warranted? Or is it more so, you know, the human interpretation of there's a shadow over there and there shouldn't be one? I'm kind of scared. And it's really nothing negative. It's like Aunt Betty, who just happened to be wandering around, and this is what you picked up. You know, but it's all you're getting is a shadow. What's your take on shadow people?
So even now I get visitations. I mean, just two nights ago, I felt hands on my feet and the covers were moving. And I told my wife, I go, someone is messing with my foot. Mm-hmm. And they kept doing it. And, you know, there was a shadow person and just said, stop and leave or I'm going to kick your butt out. And it stopped and they left. So I think fear with these things is that human reaction to the unknown. The unknown scares people.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, fretting about an economic collapse or wars or, you know, we create scenarios in our minds that may not be the truth or that, you know, I've heard it said the things that we worry most about are the things which will never happen. And it's true.
Well, that was true up until 2020. No, I'm kidding. Then everything changed.
Yeah, there's a lot of craptacular things happening. But by and large, you know, people fear the unknown. And, you know, I got to say, if I'm not expecting to see an apparition or a shadow person, I'll get startled at first. But then I get annoyed because I've seen these things so much in my life that when they actually come, I'm just like, just stop. You're not impressing anyone. Go away.
Yeah.
You know, and they do. And but I get a lot of those type of things before a major case. Like this weekend, I'm actually going to be working on a possession case that the entity has named itself the old Chaldean demonic entity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've gotten ramped up activity in the home. Mostly directed at myself, but my wife sometimes will feel someone touching her or someone grabs her feet or something like that. But there's never harm with it. It's always meant to inspire fear and in an attempt to detract my faith, because fear and faith are at polar opposites. If you're afraid, your faith is out the window. But if you have faith, fear is out the window. You just kind of push through it and just say, y'all gonna lose.
Sure.
And you just need to move on with your bad selves and deal with it. I think these things can inspire fear. Are they fearful in and of themselves? You know, if you've experienced them enough, no. But if you haven't, absolutely, you're going to be scared to death.
Are they always negative, or are they? Because my take on it, quite honestly, and obviously this is just my interpretation based on my experience and the many stories that we've heard, is that, you know, some can be bad, some can be good. It's almost just the way something is manifesting itself is kind of how I take it. Almost like the volume level is, if you're at a 10, it's a full-blown apparition. You can see clothing and everything. Shadow people, to me, are more like at a 1 or a 2. And it's like, well, you're kind of getting the outline that it's there, but it could be until you really can see and know that what the hell this is. And I think energy, and if you're sensitive to that, will tell you pretty quick whether it's Aunt Betty or, you know, the demon down the road.
Absolutely.
So is your take that they're not always negative? It's just that it's how they're being interpreted. It's the fear of the unknown that we're reacting to more than anything to someone who's not sensitive.
I think it's more the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. I do think some can be manifestation of a demonic entity. Other times, by and large, I think most are fairly neutral unless they're causing, you know, there's an intent, yeah. again, going to the behaviors, to cause fear and disrupt the family.
Okay.
If that's the case, absolutely, it's evil. But if it's just there, or, you know, like for me, they're messing around with my feet or whatnot, it's like, come on, guys, for God's sake.
Sure.
Don't you have anything better to do?
Yeah.
But I also think what we see as shadows, you know, there's a lot of, there's visible light, things we can see, and then there's other waves of light that we can't fully see. That we need, like infrared and other things that we need specialized equipment to actually see in that spectrum.
Sure.
I believe that even the demonic are interdimensional, so that if a person is ever interested to look at quantum physics and how, like, a six-dimensional object would interact within a three-dimensional world, what that might look like. So that's something to look at for what I'm going to say. I think we see the shadow because we're not capable of seeing with our human eyes the full spectrum of what it's trying to present.
Okay.
So it may be, you know, Uncle Buck standing there, but we're seeing a shadow person because that's all we're capable mm-hmm. of seeing. So, you know, take it as with a grain of salt, I suppose, but that's my belief.
Sure. I mean, it's all up into interpretation and experience and whatnot. When you were talking about, you know, kind of the yin and the yang, you will, almost, of the fear versus faith. For yes. you, what has been one of, looking back on all your experiences, what for you has been one of your most terrifying encounters that really, you know, it started to really get into your fear zone and not necessarily, you know, challenge your faith, but it made you, it frightened you, you know, to a point where you really had to amp up the faith end of this to really sure. kind of fight it. What was for you one of the most difficult moments that you've encountered like that as an exorcist?
Boy, I've had an untold number of them, but, you know, two stories that stick out in my mind where... So I want to preface all of this by saying, you know, we all react with the fight, flight, or freeze reaction when that we're confronted with a fearful situation. Mm-hmm. For me, I've always been the type that fights. So when I get scared, I get mad. And when I get mad, the fear goes away, and then I just buckle down and go toward the threat. So that being said... the two stories that stick out in my mind is I was called to a home that was experiencing significant haunting activity, paranormal activity. You know, cupboards opening and shut. They were seeing demonic full-bodied apparitions. They were seeing the shadow people. They were being physically hurt, having nightmares. And in bed where they're physically attacked with the nightmares. So I went to this home, and I usually don't have folks tell me what's going on beforehand, other than, you know, I have a significant problem, you know, I'm being attacked, that kind of stuff. But I don't want them to tell me locations in the home. I don't want them to tell me all that stuff because I want to go in and feel it out myself. Because, you know, it took me a long time to trust my instinct, because I would, you know, naturally think, oh, you're just nuts. You're having an episode or you know, you're just letting the situation affect your emotions rather than actually using your brain kind of thing. But when I've trusted what I'm seeing and hearing and feeling, I've never been wrong. It's always been 100% accurate. Even historically, when I see what I call place memories, seeing in the past. But for this one, I was doing my walkthrough of the home, and I walked down into the basement of the home by myself, and I noticed, and it was very dark. It felt like I was walking through cotton, that kind of, it was like an air pressure that pushed against you. Not violently, but you had to forcefully walk through it in order to get through it. And I was down in the basement, and I noticed movement off to my left. And there was a shadow person in the corner that most closely resembled the Russian stackable dogs in its body shape. So with the head, and then, you know, it curves out and down with no discernible arms or anything like that. And it was rocking back and forth, left to right. And about the time I just went, huh? You know, trying to comprehend what I was actually looking at, it bum rushed me. And it hit me and went through me. And it was like the Antarctic had just hit my skin. And as it went through, it went into the muscles and the bones and then back through the muscles and skin as it exited. And so was I scared? Oh, boy. You know, I was, the hair on my neck stood up. I got the cold chill, you know, that's up your spine kind of thing. And, but because I was scared, I got mad. And I just buckled down and got rid of it. But I think the one thing, you know, we'll get into the second story in a second, but I think the one thing for me that bolsters my faith is that I've never seen defeat when I put my faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, you know, there's always been a remedy, a conclusion to a haunting when I'm called out to a case. Because usually when I'm called out to a case, you know, the proverbial crap has hit the fan kind of thing.
Sure.
And, you know, they've had investigators or whatnot that, you know, they might have evidence, but it's kind of like the, you know, those TV commercials for the, you know, I'm not a security guard. I'm a bank monitor. You know, well, you're having a robbery, but that's beyond my scope to actually do anything about it. We're just going to say you got a robbery going on, and I'm going to walk out while you get robbed.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So they usually have had those type of investigators that are just out for the thrill,
mm-hmm.
Without any remedy,
yeah,
to it. Or they've tried remedies and it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So I'm usually called to the most dire cases, but, so the second story that stands out the most is that, we were called to a local business in, Grants Pass, Oregon, in the downtown district, which is a historic district. You know, the building we were in was, built in the late 1800s and, had, you know, it had been multiple things in the building's life. So, you know, from detective agencies to a funeral home to, you know, just insert pretty much
yeah.
a lawyer's office,
sure.
that kind of stuff.
Sure.
The reports that were coming out was that, you know, the people were being hit, scratched, having hair pulled. It's a two-story brick building, so people were being pushed down the stairs. And this is customers. This was an antique store at the time. And the second floor, no matter how many lights they put on, always seemed dim or darkened compared to the first floor, which is fine, normal. You know, and they heard voices talking and everything. We also collect some evidence because I want to make sure, you know, the people I'm pulled out to aren't having episodes themselves or mental instability or substance use or something like that.
Sure.
So we collected copious amounts of evidence and audio visual, that kind of stuff. But when we were done with that phase, the owner said, please get rid of it. I'm like, okay, let's do this. And so I had my exorcism team split up into two chunks. One was at the front of the building, one was at the back of the building. And I was standing in the middle so that I could, you know, monitor both teams with my ears in case something was going on. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing that, both teams started hollering out for me at the same time. The team at the front of the building was saying they were seeing the shadow person in a tall stand-up mirror coming toward the toward all the people there, because there were the owners there and few visitors that wanted to, you know, get their ghost on, I guess. And so they were seeing this shadow person coming in toward them, and then it would back off, coming in and then back off, but they could only see it in the mirror. They couldn't see it when they looked at the spot that it was reflected. And so, you know, they were screaming that. The one in the back, I didn't know at the time exactly what was going on. They were just saying, you need to come here. And so, you know, I at least knew what the front end was going through. So I went to them first. And absolutely, there was a shadow person. I actually said, well, you know what? You need to stop scaring people like some little freak show and actually show yourself. And it was dark in there, and out of the darkness, a bluish face emerged with a maniacal smile that just popped in and back out of visual view. And, you know, I was startled, of course, because I wasn't expecting a blue face to come out of the darkness.
Yeah.
And so I took care of that, used exorcism rites and stuff to get that settled. And then I went to the rear of the building, and one of my exorcism teammates, Amanda, she was saying, I think these two are possessed back here. And I'm like, what? And because I was thinking, okay, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, So I walked up to the two of them, and I tried to keep it light and cheery and say, hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't want to feed into it if it was just emotions going on. And they both turn and look at me, and their eyes, one, so people talk about the black eyes in a possessed person. What it really is the pupil dilate.
Okay.
And so that the iris isn't visible.
Okay.
And it's a pure black hole where the iris should be. So they're looking at me with the black eyes, and they're saying things like, your God is worthless. You can't do anything. You're pathetic. Think you can get rid of us? That kind of thing. And I listened for maybe 20 seconds, and I said, shut up in the name of Jesus and follow me. And both of their mouths closed, and they couldn't say anything. And they followed me, and I said, I want you both out of the building. And as soon as they stepped over the threshold to the building, they both collapsed, and they were freed from the grip of whatever was possessing them. Mm-hmm. And they had no memory of the previous 15 minutes. Neither one could recall anything. And so was I scared during all that time? Absolutely, there was a degree of fear. It wasn't fear for myself, per se, as it was fear for what these things were potentially going to do to the others in the environment. So I kind of had to take charge and do what I do.
Yeah. Let me just ask this. Your phone is kind of, it's very clear, and then it kind of gets a little muffled. So I don't know how you're holding it. But in some cases, it's great. In some cases, it gets muffled as you talk longer. Let me ask, when you when you go through something like this and you're trying to exercise what the spirit, these demons or whatever this is, that is taking over these individuals, have you ever run into a case where, you know, it doesn't seem to go away or detach itself from the individual that easy?
Well, so there's a difference between an attachment and a possession.
Okay.
So a possession, I've never had one not leave.
Okay.
Possession is pretty much 100% success rate. But as far as attachments, there are things in people's lives when they have an attachment that they have either done willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly, that has given the opportunity for these dark or demonic entities to get their hooks in them over sometimes a period of years until it's finally at a max velocity kind of thing. And so attachments can be very tricky because I have to sit down with the people and basically go through their lives with them, looking at any possible openings that they've created that gave the opportunity for these things to attach, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And so
sure.
If I don't do that, the attachment can stay and has stayed in the past.
Do you have to address the reason? Do you have to address the reason for the attachment? Is that why you have to dig into that deep when there's an attachment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And they have to verbally renounce it, and I have to grant absolution so that those hooks no longer apply.
Attachment versus possession. I think the general public would hear the word possession and think that sounds more difficult to rid yourself of than an attachment. But you're saying it quite often is the exact opposite. When you have an attachment, possession almost to the general population, they're going to think demonic possession, things of that nature. When it comes to attachment, quite often you're going to think almost that's, the person who used to live in this house that really does not like the fact that I took their pineapple wallpaper down. And now they seem to attach to me everywhere I go. That's kind of the generic look at it. But with attachments, is it more than a former human that's decided to kind of attach and use that person as a vessel? Can an attachment also be a possession of some sort, or not a possession, but a demonic force or something that was not human that attaches to that individual?
Sure. It could be either or.
Okay.
There have been times, so with a human spirit that is trying to attach or whatnot, I could say probably with confidence, 99.9% of the time, if I grant them absolution and I pray for the human spirit, they leave. Because most of the time a human spirit wants to leave.
Sure.
And they're just trying to get attention basically to the people in the environment saying, hey, pray for me. I need to get out of purgatory. I see human spirits more as a purgatorial soul that's working through the things that were amiss in their life. Now, these aren't souls that are hellbound. These are souls ultimately that are heavenbound, but they have to go through a period of purification. So through absolution and other things, it pretty much shoves them out of the environment, and they're willing to do so. A demonic attachment, on the other hand, these will not leave unless you address every nook and cranny as to what caused the attachment. A possession, this entity is in the person. It's controlling their thoughts, behaviors, emotions, etc. An attachment is outside of a person. It still may be affecting their emotions and whatnot, or causing depression or other mental health challenges. But it's still outside of the person. Okay. This is what in exorcism terms is known as oppression. Attachment is really oppression, where you're being oppressed by an outside entity that is creating this black cloud, if you will, over your life. And most often it manifests as anger, rage, that kind of thing. Unexplained anger and rage, I should say.
Yeah.
Again, the demonic version of an attachment is much more difficult to remove because the person has to take a moral inventory of their life with the priest or bishop, in my case, to really, you know, come to terms and to close the doors, which they, again, knowingly or unknowingly opened at some point.
Has there ever been a case, whether you've been involved with it or not, or that you've just been aware of, where despite time after time trying to get this attachment away from an individual, it simply has not worked? Despite everyone's best efforts, it's just in there so deep, it's so intertwined, it's like a horrible knot, you know, where it's just like, you know what, I'll spend the extra $20 and buy a new rope. Has there ever been something like that where, you know, you're not trying to give up on anybody? Who's ever involved is not trying to give up, but at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it's just like, I don't think this is going to get there.
There have been times with attachments that it does not leave. And it's mostly because, so this is my experience. My impression of as to why.
Yeah.
When an attachment will not leave, even after clergy intervention, it's usually because a person is unwilling to change that piece in their life that caused the attachment in the first place.
Okay.
And spiritually speaking, you can't force a person to change their life. They have to want the change, not just get rid of the attachment,
yeah,
but want true change in their life.
Sure.
Because whatever that was is the reason why that hook is there. And if they're unwilling to change that or take the steps that I recommend to create additional change, I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because that's beyond my power. I can't force another person to do that.
There is personal responsibility involved in this, just as there is in everything in life. It's like therapy. You can see the best therapist in the world for whatever specialized area that one individual needs. But if that individual is not willing to participate and do their part in it, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference who's doing what or what's being practiced, because that person needs to want to participate in getting better themselves.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, a lot of times, and I have to say too, as a therapist, that I also recommend therapy for folks.
Sure.
As they're going through a lot of the attachment, because sometimes working with a person with an attachment isn't a one-time shot versus, like for me, a possession, it's really easy. And it's, easy. I use the term easy, but because you're talking directly to the entity itself, and it's a battle of God versus the dark, and the dark never wins. So unless, again, personal responsibility, that person isn't willing to change facets of their life to become more aligned with what God wants for their life. So then, of course, the entity has every right to mess with them, because that person's also not willing to change.
That's going to wrap up the second half of our conversation with James Cloud. Be sure to check out his book on Amazon, Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal. And more on his group can be found by searching the Paranormal Research Investigators of St. Michael. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.